listening to WCNO Palm City.
Thank you. majesty.
For so long I was silent. For so long I did not have a song of praise. Depression filled my days and clouds blocked my way. But there was a voice speaking to me, awaking the passion so quiet in me, in me. So still in me. Give up, no. I choose to worship right now.
I choose to worship.
My mind is made up.
My mind is made up.
Is that your voice calling me into that secret place with thee? My heart is longing for this moment with thee.
I choose to worship.
Do I have anybody in here tonight that chooses to worship? I know sometimes it gets bad. I just can't lay here and give up. I choose to worship. Oh, yes, I do. Just say it with me. Come on. I choose to worship you, Lord. I choose to worship right here in the midst of everything that I'm going through, God. Tears running down my face. Don't know where to go. Don't know, have nobody to talk to. But I made up my mind. I'm going to worship you in spirit and in truth. I bless your name. I glorify you right now. I'm desperate for your presence, God. I'm coming after you. I'm a living witness, he'll heal you. Yes, he will.
He's healing me. I'm gonna worship.
Come on, I need everybody in here to help me do it right now. Come on. He's healing me.
He's healing me. I'm gonna worship.
Come on, I need you to lift yourself up out of that mess that you're in right now. Come on. Some of you have been down so long. Come on, make up your mind right now.
I'm gonna worship.
I can't lay here and die. I gotta seek after him. I hear his voice calling me right now.
He's healing
me.
I'm gonna worship.
I'm coming to you broken tonight. I'm coming to you wounded tonight. I'm coming to you right now. I need your presence in my life.
I'm gonna worship.
I'm gonna worship, yes I am. He's healing me.
He's healing me. I'm gonna worship.
Oh, he's healing me. Yes, he is.
He's healing me. I'm gonna worship.
I'm gonna worship you.
I'm gonna worship.
Come on, I need some worshipers in here tonight. Come on. Come on, it's got a made up mind. Come on, to bless the Lord at all times. In the midst of every test, every trial, I've made up my mind that I will bless the Lord at all times. I'm going to worship.
I'm going to worship.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm going to worship. Yes, I am.
The dust was stained a crimson red beneath the shadow of that tree. The blameless one became our sin to set the prisoner free. A place of punishment and shame now set apart for love display. The Savior's blood cascading down that hill became a sacred ground. Oh, praise the name above all names, Jesus the Lamb, for sinners slain, Emmanuel. Every knee will bow to worship you on sacred.
Sacred ground. Welcome to Constitutional Conversations. I'm Dr. Brenda McMenamin. Why is it so important to understand the Constitution? Understanding the heritage and history that God gave us enables us to honor and obey Him so He can rescue us and America.
Recently, reading through my Founder's Bible, published by a team of godly educators and historians, I am reminded of how many scriptures illustrate God's desire for us to be dependent on Him only and independent from man and government in the care and stewardship of our lives, fortunes, and sacred honor. One example is known as the Castle Doctrine. Based on scripture, Founding Father James Wilson declared, "Homicide is enjoined when it is necessary for the defense of one's person or house. Every man's house is deemed by law to be his castle, and the law, while it invests him with power, places on him the duty of the commanding officer of his house. Every man's house is his castle, and if anyone be robbed in it, it shall be esteemed his own default and negligence." Presently, so many of us would have us give up our right and responsibility to bear arms and depend only on police, who at best arrive after the crime has begun and usually after the crime has been completed. John Quincy Adams urged his brother, as he cared for his son George Washington Adams, in this regard. "One of the things which I wish to have them taught, and which no man can teach them better than you, is the use and management of firearms. This must undoubtedly be done with great caution, but it is customary among us, particularly when children are under the direction of ladies, to withhold it too much and too long from boys. The accidents which happen among children arose more frequently from their ignorance than from their misuse of weapons, which they know to be dangerous. I beg you occasionally from this time to take George out with you in your shooting excursions. Teach him gradually the use of the musket, its construction, and the necessity of prudence in handling it. Let him also learn the use of pistols and exercise him at firing at a mark." May God restore our independence and our independent spirit as He draws us to be more dependent on Him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Welcome to Constitutional Conversations. I'm Dr. Brenda McMenamin. Why is it so important to understand the Constitution? Understanding the heritage and history that God gave us enables us to honor and obey Him so He can rescue us and America.
We love. So you're pregnant, and suddenly your whole life changed. You want to be joyful, but you're also afraid and anxious. How do you deal with this? Where do you go for help? CareNet Pregnancy Services of the Treasure Coast is here for you. We give compassionate counsel, helpful education and referrals so that you can make the best decision. There is no charge for our confidential services, and we will ensure that you enjoy security and strong support from the CareNet family. Reach out to us today at 772-828-3168.
Holy Father, love me still. I have fallen from your will. I am broken. Hear my humble cry, my cry. Take my life.
Sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let the rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your
lay down your burden.
heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Thank you for joining us today. This is Abundant Life Ministries coming to you every Sunday morning and afternoon. So glad that you take this time to join us. The message today was actually preached on Mother's Day. That was 5/11/2025. And this is part two, the final part. And it really is a message about hope for the family, restoring biblical order in accordance with the Word of God, and I trust it will be a blessing to you. If you missed the first part, you can go back to 622. That is, you can go to WCNO.com. You can go to On Demand and look up the Abundant Life program, and on 622, you can find part one, and of course, today is part two. So thank you so much, and even though it's not Mother's Day, we're past that at this point. Want to send out a lot of love and a lot of prayers for all of our moms and thank God for them, as my wife and I both remember our moms who are now with the Lord today. God bless you as you listen.
And guys, don't get your feelings hurt if God talks more to your wife than he does to you, because maybe she listens better. It's not always easy for us to listen as men. And if you look in the Word of God and you ask the question like I have, God, why did you send the angel to Mary and not Joseph first? Because I have a little bit of an issue with that. I'm like, okay, God, if I'm going to be responsible, why does it work this way so many times in the Word of God? And I believe what I always hear from the Father is, if you learn to listen better, I'll be able to speak and you'll be able to hear me better. Oh, and all the ladies said amen. Lord, help us. We could have an altar call right now, but it's Mother's Day, so ladies, be gracious to us, okay? So first of all, there's to be a submission one to another out of reverence for Christ. And any time when there's been war, there's been division, there's been situations that start separating a family, it's always because stuff gets in the way. And when stuff gets in the way, it's not just between us, it's stuff that also gets in the way between us and God. And what happens is, in our homes, when stuff gets in the way in our walk with God, we begin to cool off. And we're not as close to God. We're not in the Word as much. We're not as surrendered to God. And we begin to become more independent and protective. And so, first of all, we submit to each other out of reverence for Christ. And you wives will submit to your husbands as you do to the Lord. Now, if I asked you how you surrender to the Lord, and I have people tell me, well, I had to do that because God told me to do it. Okay, you do what God told you to do, but understand, you still have a free will. You choose to do it or choose not to do it. In your relationship with God, God does not drive you into his kingdom. He welcomes you. He calls you. He invites you. But he doesn't demand and drive you. And so in the relationship between a man and his wife, there's never a place where the man is to be demanding of anything that's contrary to the will of God. And if a man is demanding that, then the man is totally out of order. Because some ladies will look at this and say, I'm not going to submit to that jerk. Well, I already know there's problems if I hear that. I say, well, you know, was he a jerk when you first met? And if so, what's wrong with your brain? Why did you get married to a jerk? Didn't you say, I will, I do? Didn't you do that? Yeah, well, he was different back then. And then on almost every occasion, the guy will speak up and he will say, and I'm not the only one that was different back then. She was different back then. And so I had a couple one night. We were trying to make progress. The lights went out. And it was after dark, and I'm having this counseling session. The lights go out. And it had to be at least 1 to 3 to 5 minutes that they screamed at each other while the lights were out. I just sat there in the dark, and they just screamed at each other. Lights came on, they were still screaming at each other. It was very hard. I mean, it was very hard to make any progress because both of them were so angry at each other. But what had happened, and finally I got it out of them. Didn't you guys, how did you come together? Tell me the story. And when they started telling me the story, for a moment they quit screaming at each other. Because they remembered how they used to prefer one another, and they courted one another, they loved one another, they treated one another as they were courting. And then life happened. They got busy, and there's children, and things happen. The time comes when it's like, well, I love them, but I don't like them. Who gave us that word in the church? Somehow in the church, somebody started preaching that. It's okay to love them, but you don't have to like them. God didn't say, I like you, but I love you, but I don't like you. God said, I love you, so I'm going to die for you. So guys, I'm going to tell you this morning, the cure to the family has got to come back to us. We have to love like Christ loved again in order for the mothers to be able to mother like God wants them to mother. Because if the priest doesn't get it right, the family's not going to be right. And we've had family, some of our family say, well, these children don't need a man in their life. They don't need a father. We can do everything for them. Wrong. God's plan is, and I know there's a lot of single parents, and God is going to come alongside of you to help you. But that's not the perfect plan, and you have to know it opens up a lot of additional problems. A lot of additional problems. So you wives will submit to your husbands as you do to the Lord. That's in reverence and respect. But you're not going to disobey the Lord in your submission ever to your husband. For the husband, here it is. For a husband is the head of his wife as Christ is the head of his body, the church. And this is the picture. He gave his life to be your Savior. So guys, once you die for your wife, then you've done what Jesus did to show love. That's the point. And I'll have guys tell me, well, how much of this do I have to put up with? Only till you die. How long is this going to last? Only till you die. You die, it's over. You know, because the Word of God says if you're married, once you die, you're free of that. Yeah, but if I die, I'm not going to have any other options. Yeah, so why don't you become the priest in your family and allow God to redeem your family so your family can actually experience the goodness of the abundant life today. Anyone in the house? I know. Say, what kind of a Mother's Day message is this? It's weird. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives must submit to your husband. And you husbands must love your wives with the same love Christ showed the church. He gave his life up for her to make her. Yeah, how's this supposed to work? To make her holy, clean, washed, and in baptism, by baptism, and God's word, this cleansing. He did this so he could present her to himself as a glorious church. So as I was preparing for this morning over the last, this has been going on in me for weeks now, I began to realize that my whole job is to make sure my wife is presented before God. And she's righteous, she's holy, she's blameless, she's pure without any spots or any wrinkles. That is my highest calling. I don't think I ever really understood that in this kind of a context until I began to look at this, that is the job that we have. That's the job that we have as the priest in the family. That's the job we have as the head in the family. Our job is to do what Jesus did, and he did everything he could to make sure that the church makes it to heaven. Aren't you glad for that? And you ladies, that's the kind of husband God's asked us to be. It's not Father's Day. That's coming. I don't know what God's going to give me for us. Can't imagine. washed by baptism and God's word. That's the way we're to minister to our families. And when we do that, then you mothers are able to be mothers like God called you to be. And if mothers are forever struggling with their husbands because their husbands are demanding or unrighteous or are not who they're supposed to be, then they will be way overburdened and stressed in every way. And so he did this to present himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle and any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. That means you're going to present to God a perfected wife because of your love. Wow. This is the word of God. The same way husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. Okay, now here's the provision part. For man's actually loving himself as he loves his wife. No one hates his own body, but lovingly cares for it just as Christ cares for his body, which is the church, and we're his body. And so the second point is that we are to be a provider. As we see to it, we take care of ourselves. We are to be sensitive to take care of our wives, and this is God's order for the family. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father, his mother is joined to his wife, and the two, what happens? Are united. The two become one. And so there's leaving, there's cleaving, there's leaving the mom, the mothers, the dads, the families, and then there is the coming into agreement and covenant one with another. So we have the protection, no longer under daddy's cover, but now you're under your husband's cover, and together you're to provide cover for your family, and this is the will of God. This is a great mystery. It's an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. Go with me to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Psalm 139. And this is the really important part. We're going to close as we get to this point. In Psalm 139, it, I believe, is one of the strongest scriptures that talk of the value of every life, every child. And often, I've went to this, the first paper that I wrote on the value of life when I was in college, I took from this passage. It hasn't lost any significance to me, because when I read in verse 13, Psalm 139, 15, the psalmist, David is writing, and David says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." This is absolutely awesome. You mamas, your womb is actually the design center for God Himself. It is the place where the artistic rendering of God is perfected in your child's life. When we read of Adam and God making Adam, he's scooping up some dirt and putting it together. But when God makes your child, God goes into your womb and designs every cell and every part of the DNA for that child that's going to be born. Every child, the thumbprint, they're all different, right? Like snowflakes, they're all different. So there is not any autopilot that's just saying, "Well, you just had a child, big deal." You know, a lot of people have kids. Let me tell you, every child is on purpose for a purpose. There are no accidents. You are uniquely designed in the mother's womb, which is God's artistic chamber of development. I never thought of that before, but I'm confident that that is exactly what this passage is saying, that God is the one, before you were born, before you were conceived, God already knew all that. We saw that as we looked into some other scriptures already today. It's an awesome thing. It's God's artistic studio. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Something I've never shared with the dedication of a child, but I believe it's going to start becoming a part of it. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, very familiar passage, it simply lays this out, and it talks about the fact that the church is the physical body of Christ, that we represent Christ. We know that, right? But it's not like we as individuals represent this building or this blob or this word. I mean, the ecclesia means to be called out. It means to be separated. And so, in a sense, every one of us individually are the church, but also together, as we're here this morning, we're the church. But also, we have the community of faith that's all over the world. So, that also is the church. But take note of something that is here. I believe it brings some clarity and some definition to what's happening in the womb of a mother when she is pregnant. And I never saw this. I never thought about the significance of this. That before you were conceived, God already knew you by name and knew the length of your life. And God was personally involved in you ladies to develop the life of that child, every aspect. So many times we say, well, it's in the genes, you know, the hair, the eyes, the countenance, the stature. It's all in the genes. All the genes are in the hands of God. There is nothing that happens by accident. And so when we look into 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, there's a statement that says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one body. So it is with the body of Christ. Well, if I jump up a little earlier in verse 4, it says, now there are different kinds of spiritual gifts. When do you think the gifts were assigned? I'm confident they were assigned in the womb. Before your child was born, God was already assigning the spiritual gifts that were needed for that child to become all that they're called to be. Different kinds of spiritual gifts. It is the same Holy Spirit who is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, different positions. Where do those callings, where do those giftings, where do all of those come from? Do they just sort of develop by accident? No, I'm confident that the great designer, as he's applying the spiritual gifts and ministering, there's going to be a measure of faith. There's also going to be giftings and placements and callings that will open doors of opportunity. There are different kinds of service in the church, but it's the same Lord we're serving. There are different ways God works in our lives, but it's the same God who does the work through all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. I don't believe that God is ever going to ask me, what was the most expensive house I ever worked on when I was in construction? I don't think it matters to God that, you know, we started with $30,000 houses, and when I stepped out of that arena, we were building $8 million, $10 million houses, which are nothing today compared to what things are today. I don't believe that's what matters. I don't believe God's going to ask me to present my diploma. I don't think that really is going to matter. I don't think that's the most important issue. I think the most important issue is for me and for you as parents and you as ladies, for us to step back and realize God was, along with the DNA, there was spiritual gifts. Not just physical characteristics, but there were spiritual assignments that were given at birth, at the time of conception, that are part of God's plan. And so that's part of what we pray over and we call forth to see take place in one's life. To one person's the ability to give wise advice. To another, he gives a gift of special knowledge. And on it goes through the gifts. Healing the sick, miracles, prophecy, to know unknown languages, ability to interpret. And then we come to verse 12 again, where we started. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up only one body. So it is with the body of Christ. I want to tell you ladies that being a mom is a significant thing. Why does Satan want to kill so many babies? Why is abortion such a big thing? Why are the sacrifices to Molech, the live children being sacrificed in demonic ways with idolatry? Why has this happened throughout history? Why did Herod go after the babies to kill the babies? Why has this been that in Moses' day that they were killing all of the boys? Because the enemy knows what the word says, that there was going to be a deliverer that was going to be raised up. All the way from the garden, the promise was there. How about when in Jesus' day, when Herod's killing the children? What is that about? The enemy knew that the Messiah was coming, that he was going to be born. He was going to be raised up. Why is it now? And I share this. I haven't heard anyone else. Maybe someone else says it, but I believe this is true. The word says that from the 12 tribes, there's going to be from each tribe 12,000 sold out Jewish witnesses during the tribulation period of time. Where do they come from? I believe that abortion is a plan of the enemy to kill off those 144,000 witnesses. The enemy always attacks when God is on the move. But you ladies, God has given you a child. You dads that are here too, God has given you a child. It's not just so they can be great in the military or great in their field as a doctor or a nurse or anything else, but it's so they can fulfill the calling and purpose of God. Well, we must close. John chapter 15, the scripture simply says, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you. And I've chosen you and ordained you." That's why we're here. That's why you moms have children, because God chose for that child to be used for his glory. He gifted you. He gifted them. And whatever was needed in your child's life, some children, they hate their families. They hate where they grew up. They hate what happened. And I know we live in a dark, dark world where a lot of evil has happened. But there are countless testimonies of people that grew up under all types of persecution, that when God got a hold of their life, God transformed them, and they became a missionary going back to their families. So moms and dad, I want to encourage you. Your children, they may be your mission field, and that may be where you're ministering today. But God has a plan for everyone. He doesn't. Yeah, this is very poor English, but I've said it many times. God don't make no junk. God don't make no junk. None of your kids are intended to populate hell. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, when it says you are a chosen generation, that's the day we're living in right now. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special, King James says peculiar, doesn't it? His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name. And fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly."
Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton of Just a Voice Radio Ministry, broadcasting here on WCNO 89.9, Saturdays, 5 a.m. and p.m. Come on and join us. Hope to see you there.
Jesus, you are welcome here. Jesus, you are welcome here. When your people praise you, you said you draw near. Then I want to tell you, you are welcome here.
Jesus, you are welcome here.
Jesus,
you are welcome here.
When your people in this place, Lord, your name we're gonna bless.
You're welcome here.
Welcome here.
You're welcome
here. Won't you fill us with your presence, Lord? Be our special guest.